We had that same kind of tree when I lived in Savannah. And so they were live oaks, and their leaves stayed all year. They were basically evergreen. They were wonderful trees with huge trunks that twisted every which way, and their branches made canopies. And so on the long, hot summer days in Texas, we were shaded when we played outside under those trees. But their leaves did not change colors. I've been thinking about trees this week because I recently returned from my first trip to the Pacific Northwest. Hannah and I had the opportunity there to do a lot of hiking. We went out to visit some friends of ours who moved there from here last August. I see Steve is smiling because he's from that area. It's a beautiful area, but it is very green. The trees are green, and most of them are evergreens. And we got to do all this amazing hiking. We went in the Ho Rainforest, which was had trees that were 150 feet tall, and some of them had trunks that were as wide around as I am tall, and they're over 1,000 years old. They were covered with green moss, and also there are ferns that were probably this tall that are also green, so everything just felt very green and full of life. During my trip, I also got to see starfish in the water and seal pups and sea lions and black-tailed deer. Especially, there were a lot of fawns and does, and we saw a waterfall and crystal clear lakes. So I was completely awed by the beauty and the grandeur of nature. But in the meantime, I was also working on this sermon in the back of my mind, and I was thinking about these verses, which I said to Jennifer, they were really hard to read. You're like sawn in two and killed by the sword. The persecution was terrible. And so I was trying to put together this contrast in my mind between the beauty of nature and the peace and the joy that it was bringing me and the discomfort and questions that the scripture was bringing up. And then events from our recent past in religious settings came to my mind. I thought about the Pittsburgh shooting on October 27th, 2018, in the Tree of Life Synagogue, where 11 people were killed and 7 were injured. And then on November 5th, 2017, 26 people were fatally shot and 20 were injured in the Baptist Church in Sutherland, Texas. And on March 15th, 2019, there were 2 consecutive terrorist shootings at mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. In these attacks, 51 people died and 49 were injured. So I was thinking about people who had also been killed more recently because of their faith. And standing there in the rainforest, I couldn't help but think also of the Amazon rainforest and the deforestation that takes place there every day. And I couldn't put together my thoughts about how wonderful God is and how powerful and creative to bring all of these beautiful natural things to life. How could that same God be the God who created humans with the ability to bring so much destruction and pain to each other and to nature? If this week's passage of scripture sounded familiar, it's because it does continue the same book of the Bible that Stephen preached on last week. It starts with Hebrews chapter 11, and then it moves to chapter 12, verse 2. Throughout all of these verses, which are really more of a sermon than a letter, the author, who remains anonymous, seeks both to define faith and to encourage his listeners, who are very discouraged Christians because they are being persecuted and tortured. They're on the goal of abandoning their faith. His goal is to give them strength so they can persevere even in the face of suffering. He urges for the future, which are not yet fully realized. Today's scripture can be divided into three sections. The first and the second seem to contradict each other at first reading. In the first section, the author gives examples such as crossing the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho falling. These are examples where we see the faithful triumph in the face of odds that seem impossible. But then the second section talks about those who were tortured, who were killed by the sword, who were sawn in two, people who, because of their faith, ended up dying. And you wonder, this dichotomy between the two outcomes for the faithful, how do you put that together? But the author reveals that it's not the results that prove God's faithfulness to us. Sometimes we suffer, and sometimes we triumph. Both of those are a part of life. But God is always there, and that faith is learning to see God's hand even in the times of suffering. The faithful are not exempt from suffering. Hebrews is not a prosperity gospel. God is a God of faithfulness whose steadfast love endures from generation to generation. God is always at work making all things new, and it is in that knowledge that we have to trust that in the end, God's kingdom will come to be on earth as it is in heaven. On our best days, we can rejoice together in all that is good on earth. And in our worst days, we can support each other with confidence and trust and hope in the future that God will bring to come. In the third section of today's scripture, the author makes a turn and shifts our focus from the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us that he's outlined in chapter 11 to Jesus, whom he refers to as the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He insists that those who have held firmly to the faith, even though they did not see triumph in earthly life, will be united with God in the eschatological future, just as Jesus is. Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God, but he is the ultimate embodiment of one who suffered great pain physically while on earth. Jesus is both fully God and fully human, and the author of Hebrews really emphasizes Jesus' humanity in this passage, which links Jesus to the people the author of Hebrews was writing to and to us. According to the author, if his listeners can run the race that is before them and keep their focus on Jesus, they will be able to hold fast to their faith. And in the end, they will receive the promise of God's gift of perfection. Their suffering also will not have been in vain. Faith is about trusting and perceiving what God is doing in the world, even in the midst of suffering. Suffering and death are a part of life. Following Jesus is not easy. But by recognizing that we are not alone, that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and also by the community of faith around us, that Jesus has led the way and that God is with us, then we can have strength for our pilgrimage of faith. And in this protected environment, trees can live to be very old. To get to this point, the community must remain intact no matter what. If every tree were only looking out for itself, then quite a few of them would never reach old age. Regular fatalities would result in many large gaps in the tree canopy, which would make it easier for storms to get inside the forest and uproot other trees. The heat of summer would reach the forest floor and dry it out. Every tree would suffer. Every tree, therefore, is valuable to the community and worth keeping around for as long as possible. And that's why even sick individuals are supported and nourished until they recovered. Next time, perhaps it will be the other way around, and the supporting tree might be the one in need of assistance. Like trees, we need each other. If one member of our community suffers, we all suffer. When we support one another, we all grow stronger. The knowledge that we are not alone gives us courage as we face life's challenges. And when we encounter joy, our rejoicing is doubled when we rejoice together. According to the author of Hebrews, faith is not just about belief. It is about action. Like the great faith leaders of the past, like Abraham and Sarah and Esther, like Sojourner Truth and Martin Luther King Jr., we are called to take the journey of faith, to trust in God, and to not count the costs when we are uncertain of what those costs of faithfulness will be. Also, when we work together, we are able to accomplish great tasks. Many people working together can complete big goals. In just one day, at the beginning of August, on August 9th, more than 1 million people in India planted 220 million saplings. The saplings were planted in northern India, the country's most populous state. Students, government officials, and other residents planted the saplings along roads, railroad tracks, and at the edges of forests. The goal is to increase forest cover and absorb carbon monoxide from the atmosphere. The efforts were part of a government campaign to combat climate change and improve the environment. As Robert Frost's poem, "Nothing Gold Can Stay," reminds us, life is fleeting. Nothing in this life is permanent. What the author of Hebrews tells us, though, is that there is more to this life than we can see. God's love and faithfulness are permanent because we can trust in God's promises for our future. We can step out with boldness and confidence, taking risky and courageous actions while working for justice and compassion. We can choose whether to participate in the destruction of the world or in God's making all things new. We choose by the way we decide to live our lives. We can exploit our neighbors in creation, or we can work for the common good, even when that work requires radical trust and costly obedience. When we work together, we can accomplish great tasks. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. God will establish a new heaven and a new earth. By the grace of God, we are called and enabled to be a part of ushering in God's kingdom.